This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Senator James Webb joins us live from his office in Washington, his first time on the little program here. Good afternoon, sir. An honor to talk to you.
How you doing?
Very, very good. Very good. We got a little bit of cloudy, chilly weather here, but otherwise everything's just wonderful.
Yeah, I think the summer's officially gone up here, for sure.
Indeed, indeed. Hey, let's just start, if we can, with before we get into, you know, talking politics and issues, your general thoughts on life in the Senate. You were not a professional politician when you ran for office, and now you have certainly been thrown into the deep end. So what's it like?
Well, there are really no great surprises in terms of the Senate part of this. I was a committee counsel for 4 years. On the House side, used to put 25 bills a year through the House floor, and I've got 5 years in the Pentagon, one as a Marine, and then four in policy positions. So I understood what I was getting into. The question, or the real problem, was I'd never been in a campaign before. That was something completely different. So we ran on very specific themes in terms of where I believe the country needs to be going, and so it was not that hard to take those themes and to translate them into the policy issues that we've been working on.
We learned today that the U.S. House of Representatives is taking Democrats in the House are taking a stand against putting any more money towards Iraq. Your thoughts on this?
I have not seen the specific language that they're voting out. You know, the problem really when you look at Iraq is that. And I was saying as well before I even decided to run for office, is that what we need to do is to get a strong diplomatic approach, sort of an umbrella that will bring some stability to the region and still allow us to fight international terrorism, but allow us to get our troops out. And we can stand here in the Congress and attempt to address those issues, but you have to have the commitment of the right leaders in the executive branch before you can really pull it off. That's a hard thing to do from the Congress, unless you want to completely cut off all the funding for the war, and that when you have people on the ground is a pretty difficult thing to do.
We're talking with Senator James Webb live from his office in Washington. Do you see any leaders stepping forward, any of the leading candidates in the field for next year's election that you think might provide that type of leadership that's necessary to fix this mess?
Well, I think at the very beginning of this year, when we had the Democratic Congress in, we did get the attention of the administration, at least parts of it. You know, they're very divided on this. Condi Rice, who was very close to Bush when she was National Security Advisor in terms of the philosophy of this, kind of started returning to the realist school when she became Secretary of State. I met with her a couple times, one-on-one, talking about the need for more diplomatic overtures. On the other hand, in this administration, you've got the Dick Cheney wing, which wants to literally expand the war into Iran. And so they're having their own fights over there. But we have pushed this thing to the point that people are looking realistically at ways for us to reduce our presence. And so then the debate's going to become, do you want to keep bases there for 30 to 50 years, or do you want to get us all the way out? And we need to get all the way out.
We're talking with Senator James Webb of Virginia. Honored to have him here on the program. What are your thoughts on the news coming out now regarding Blackwater and federal public money that has been spent to privatize a great deal of our efforts in this war on terror?
You know, I've been talking about Blackwater for years and the other quasi-military entities. I was a journalist in Afghanistan in 2004, was in 9 different places with the American military, and it kind of opened up my eyes, even for someone with my background. I grew up in the military. I was in Vietnam as a Marine. I've been around the military all my life. I was in the Pentagon, as I said, for 5 years, and I hadn't really gotten my arms around how much this had changed with this Iraq-Afghanistan situation. We've got a situation I think our founding fathers would have shuddered at, with people who are essentially mercenaries, however well-meaning they may be. They're not in the military. More than 30,000 of them were giving them weapons. They are conducting military operations, and there's no accountability. There's a huge amount of money on one side. You look at Blackwater, they had more than $1 billion in contracts after 9/11. The individual who runs Blackwater was politically wired with this administration. He'd actually been an intern in the elder Bush's White House. More than half of this $1 billion was on non-compete or minimum compete contracts. And we get these people over there, and the Iraqis don't, you know, for the most part, don't know the difference between the security guards and our soldiers when they start getting shot at in these villages. All I know is it's, you know, Americans doing it, so it impacts negatively on our soldiers, and there's no legal accountability. And that's one of the reasons that Senator McCaskill and I, at the very beginning of this Congress, put together this legislation, this wartime commission, which we've gotten through kind of miraculously in a few months, something that other people have been trying for years. We've gotten through the Senate, and I think it's going to survive in the conference. And the idea of this commission is to examine fraud, waste, and abuse in contracts, and also the legal accountability issues on companies such as Blackwater. And, you know, I'm looking forward to shepherding that through over the next couple of years
And I want to applaud.
Impact.
I want to applaud you. We're talking with Senator James Webb. I want to applaud you for that, because I know that there are people in Congress have been, like you say, they've been trying for years to do this, to have some type of oversight. And you know, we have many, many billions of dollars that are totally unaccounted for. Nobody can find. What do you think has been the key to your efforts? No one has been able to do this so far. But
well, you know, when I ran last year, as I said, we ran on clear themes rather than I'm going to vote for this bill or I'm not going to vote for that bill. I basically said, look, we need to reshape our national security policy, in that Iraq is only a part of that. And secondly, we need to bring economic fairness and social justice back into our system. And then thirdly, we need accountability. And so all of the efforts that I have been making, other than the routine day-to-day type things that we've been doing, the policy efforts have been designed in one of those three areas. And accountability, Senator McCaskill actually has Harry Truman's Senate seat, the same seat that Truman had when he was a senator before he became vice president. And she had run on similar theme, that President Truman, when he was a senator, had put this commission together in World War II to do the same thing, to get back into fraud, waste, and abuse. So we both felt really strongly about it, and we were able to just keep talking about it. And at the very end, actually, Senator John Warner stepped in and made it doable in a bipartisan sense while we were arguing the bill. So we owe him a great deal of thanks for getting it done.
My guest is James Webb, U.S. Senator from Virginia. Howard is online, too. Howard, you're on with Senator Webb. Go right ahead.
Hey, Senator Webb, thank you for coming on the air and for taking my question. So a lot of us that voted for you and maybe voted for other Democrats had, and it was a nice segue just a moment ago, changing gears from foreign policy, we're thinking an awful lot about spending and about economic issues. And it appears to a lot of us that it's just business as usual from the other side of the aisle, with earmarks and no accountability. And a lot of you folks went up there saying that things were going to be different, that you weren't going to be spending like drunken sailors like the Republicans were doing. And it's a real disappointment that it's still going on. And I wondered what you would have to say about that, please, sir.
Well, I think we are doing it differently. One thing on earmarks, and I can say that having spent 4 years as a counsel in the Congress, and then 4 years as a policy guy in the Pentagon, there is a competition in terms of projects that are going to be identified for funding between the executive branch and the legislative branch. What I mean by that is an earmark, meaning saying that a certain project should be funded, is not a bad thing if it's done fairly. I think what's happened is the system kind of went crazy, and I talked a lot about that when I was campaigning. But when I was in the Pentagon, I was on a Defense Resources Board, and we would pick projects. You know, we would say, you know, this one ought to be happen, that one ought to happen, and they would get put into the budget. That doesn't mean that they were the best projects when they come over and get examined. What I did on earmarks was I basically said, we're not going to totally do away with them. It's a part of the process, but what I'm going to do is number one, I'm opening up the process completely. You can go to our webpage, our Senate webpage, and we have offered to help anybody who believes they have a deserving project in terms of helping them get an application in so that it can be looked at. We've sent people from who do my appropriation stuff down to the historic black colleges to help them in terms of understanding how to fill out forms and apply for federal assistance. And any project that we identify as doable has my name on it. And, you know, totally open for people to look at. And I work with John Warner on this to make sure that we can get appropriations into Virginia to help the people of Virginia. So that's the way that it should be done. What was happening in the past was nobody knew. You know, the lobbyists could come in and sit down and try to cut a deal. I have a situation where I refuse to meet with a lobbyist in my office. If they want to bring in a client who can explain something, I'll talk to the client. But before that, it was all behind the scenes. And when these earmarks came out, nobody knew who even had asked for them. And so I think we have taken a real step forward and gotten some balance between the legislative and the executive on projects that are being appropriated.
Howard, thanks so much for the call. We're talking with James Webb, U.S. Senator from Virginia. Can you talk for a couple of minutes about your efforts to put more federal funding for our veterans who are returning from Iraq and Afghanistan? A lot of these men and women came back, and not a lot for them.
There's a big gaping hole in terms of how we're treating our military people, and that is the people who leave the military. On the one hand, people up here think that and talk about the volunteer system and the career military, but there's still in this country a lot of people who go into the military without the notion that they're going to make it a career. They go in because they love their country or because they have a family tradition or because they want to go soldier for a while, whatever. And the military is doing a good job taking care of its career force, but when these people are transitioning out of the military, they get lost in the woodwork. We're not giving them the right kind of readjustment benefits, and that's why you're seeing the problems that are so prominent now in the media. With it accentuates post-traumatic stress problems. We've had suicide problems, et cetera. And I've lived this all my life. I grew up in the military. I watched what happened to Vietnam veterans. I worked in that issue over there. I've been around these young men and women through two of my daughters who have significant others that are active duty enlisted people, and my son who dropped out of college and enlisted and went to Iraq. And the first bill that I introduced when I came to the Senate was a bill to give the people who've been serving since 9/11 the same GI Bill educational benefits that the people got coming back from World War II. You know, on the one hand, everybody loves to say up here, this is the new greatest generation. These are the people who are carrying the load just like the World War II people did. But when it comes time for them to step up and give them the same benefits, they kind of balk. They say, what's that going to cost? When people came back from World War II, they got all their tuition paid for, all their books bought, and a monthly stipend. And we have still in the United States Senate, we've got senators who wouldn't, Neil, they'll tell you, they wouldn't be there today if it hadn't been for the World War II GI Bill. Senator Warner is one of them. He got a full boat to Washington and Lee, and then he got a full boat to UVA Law School. And we want to demonstrate to these people who've been serving since 9/11 that they are first-class citizens and that they deserve to find the best future they can find. And so I've introduced this bill. I've got a stack of sponsors on it, co-sponsors on it, but we still have a couple of hurdles to actually getting it through. I've been meeting with people. I actually spoke on the Senate floor today on this, but I've been meeting with people to see if we can't move it procedurally in onto the floor for a vote.
And this is akin to a new GI Bill for the 21st century, right?
It would be. You know, the GI Bill they have right now was a peacetime GI Bill. It was designed more as a recruitment incentive before all this stuff happened, and they got to pay in their own money for it. And if you look at what, just say, for instance, what Senator Warner was able to do, or Senator Lautenberg when he got a full boat to Columbia University coming out of World War II, the present GI Bill doesn't even pay 15% in parity with what these people were getting in those schools after World War II. So we're just saying, hey, If you think this is the next greatest generation, give them the same educational benefits that the greatest generation got.
Yeah, I think we should be ashamed that we're not offering them more.
Boy, I agree with you on that. And the other part of it is, you know, we did the numbers on this. For every dollar that the United States government paid for people in that World War II GI Bill, they got $7 back in tax revenues because they went out and they were able to be successful.
James Webb, a United States Senator from Virginia, thank you so much for your time, for joining us on the program. It's been a real honor to talk to you, and thank you for your service to Virginia and to the nation.
Well, I enjoyed being with you. Thank you.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.